give, the word that is coming out today says beyond Christianity, beyond religion. Beyond Christianity, beyond
religion.
You know, do you know that if you are born into a Muslim family, you believe that Muhammad is the way, the truth, and the life. And nothing that somebody will tell you will ever change your mind, except maybe a miracle. Of course, we see Muslims who become Christians, and we see Christians who become Muslims, and they all give testimony that somebody has seen the light. If you are born into a Christian family, you always think that Christianity is the way. Jesus is the way. Like I've always said, even the word Jesus itself lacks meaning except you have the understanding of what it's all about. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Somehow religion has put us in a box. You know what I mean? It has put everybody in a box. And all that you see is what is within that box. Anything outside of that box is a false thing and something of the devil. That is the deceit of religion. Whether we like it or not, every man, one way or the other, has been boxed up in a system. It could be a family traditional system. Your family can become your God. Your tribe can become your system. You are boxed up into that system. Do you agree with me? In Africa, you have different tribes and different, you know, cultures, and everybody is boxed up with his own idea of this is how they do it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, if I was to go to certain parts of Africa and I eat with my hand, they probably look at me as somebody that is something out of his mind. But some certain parts, unless I eat with my hands, they think that I'm not doing the right thing. That different ideologies in the world, mixed. When you come to places like Italy, in the Western culture, you see a young person taking a glass of wine. He sits down with a glass of wine, and somebody who's from an African Christian culture sees that person with a glass of wine. He begins to judge that he's a sinner, he's a wayward person. You see, you go to a beach and you see family, a whole family, everybody with bikinis, and they are doing their thing in the beach. And a black man goes to the beach and he sees everybody with bikinis and he opens his mouth. You know? And he sees the person the next day in church crying. He says, look at him, hypocrite. You see it? So we have been boxed up with our own idea of what life is, of what righteousness is. And all the only thing we do every day of our life is to judge people every day. And to condemn people and to see what is wrong. You are comparing the person with your own standard. But it's very wrong. I was in a meeting in Switzerland some years ago, and I could see people who were participating in the conference, a Christian conference. Some of them, during the interval, they go outside to smoke a cigarette, you know. And they come in, now if it's a black man that sees that, hey, he said, this church, I cannot stay here with these people. But one of the most important meetings I had in my life was in that meeting. After doing the break we had, if you see the family of the pastor, if you see the bottles of wine in their front, if I was probably a religious, a man with a different mentality, I would have probably left that service and said that these people are not spiritual enough. So we have different ideas. Amen?
Amen.
Different ideas. We have different ideas of what Christianity is, or what God, the path to God is. But I tell you the truth, no man knows anything. Eyes have not seen, nor ears. Jesus Christ was crucified. Why? Because they thought they knew. It is clearly written that had they known, they would not have crucified me. They did it because they were protecting what they thought was the right way to God. This thing is still present today. Unless you do this, unless you shout at a certain hour of the night and shout, you know, to the sky, unless you do something and you know, unless you know people have the belief that you have to inflict pain on yourself before God will hear you. You know, it's a belief. You have some traditions where they whip themselves. They gather lots of them and they wound, injure themselves, bleeding, a kind of atonement to God. They feel that pain must be inflicted on themselves to kind of get, to win some kind of favor from God. We do these things even in the Christian realm. You know that? People think that the harder you fast, you know, the more louder your prayers are, the more violent your prayers are, the more you'll be heard of God. You know, you used to do that. You used to pull down your whole building years ago. Amen?
Amen.
All this, it says that you have a zeal but lack of knowledge. Zeal but what?
Lack of knowledge.
That is why we must, first of all, let go of everything. Our beliefs about our human life, about who I am, some of the things we think of ourselves already giving us unhappiness. We don't know. Certain opinions you have of yourself bring sadness to you. You don't get on well with people all the days of your life because of what the barriers you put on your own self. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
First of all, you just have to let go. Jesus says, let go of all first. Those that have left everything for my name's sake. They've left everything, their ideologies, everything you have left. You've not left anything, it's all lies. The word came to Abraham. What was the word? Leave your household, leave your country, leave your father's house, and I will make you what? Great. Leave. He says, get thee out of that country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. When you hear that word, great nation. Great. He's not talking about anything earthly. Great is something that has got to do with God. Great is your reward in heaven. When Jesus Christ says, great is your reward, he's talking about God. God is the only thing that is great. I will make of you a great nation. I will make you father of nations. Father. There's only one
father.
So you can see, in spiritual terminology, Abraham was being migrated into God. It's a higher spiritual path. But first of all, leave. Why didn't God perform the work with Abraham there in the country? Of course, it doesn't mean that tomorrow somebody says, well, I'm leaving Italy. I'm going to London. Maybe that is where God will meet me. No, it doesn't mean. We're talking of a spiritual migration. Leaving everything. Our concepts about ourselves. Family concepts. Our idea of family, of our parent, mother, father. These things wound you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
These things keep you in bondage. They are the things wounding. Some of us say it is your families that are your bigger problem. You don't know. Even if it's your child, there's a time comes where you have to leave the child and liberate yourself. When you are free, your child will see you free and follow you.
That's true.
Don't get your child or your relationship get you down. Don't let that thing to be a stumbling block and it got to you. Amen.
Amen.
So Abraham left everything and we saw the end. This was only a shadow of things to come. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You have to leave your religion. Amen.
Amen.
You have to leave your traditions, your religion. That is the strongest point. I was somewhere last night and I met some people who were in this, who came here in those early days. Some ladies and hello, how are you? Oh, lovely. Long time. What are you doing here? Oh, we're about to go for a prayer meeting. I told them, pray for me. God bless you. I'm off. Hallelujah. They've been doing this thing for years. When the light of the world comes, they don't see it. To liberate them, that they're only wasting their energy. They're not praying to anything. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let it go. Come out of your box of religion. Hallelujah. Now,
amen.
What if I was born into a Muslim family and I get the revelation that Muhammad is Christ? What if I get the revelation that Muhammad is the way and the truth and the life? It is the revelation of Muhammad that matters, of Christ in Muhammad that matters more than the name of Muhammad. Now, if you study the Quran very well, it's very similar to the Bible. Eh?
Yes.
It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. But Jesus Christ added, mind how you hear. It's the way that you hear it that will either make you or destroy you.
That's true.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
God is everywhere. He is in everything. If I open the books, I see him in anything I see. He's everywhere. Nothing was created without him.
That's true.
Everything that you see created was created by him and for him. But you better mind how you hear. If you hear wrongly, it will keep you in bondage. Even family laws, laws of inheritance. People use the Bible to go for battles with all these things. Mind how you hear, and you'll be set free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. So it is the revelation. Jesus can come today as stopper. It is the way I hear Tope speak and see the way I see Tope that can give me the life. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I've seen people in other religions, in Buddha. I've seen of others that have gone far, far away than Christians. Christians are just a bunch of people in a box. Limited in a box with their own reasoning. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And every other person that is not a Christian is not of God. Isn't it? And everybody that is not a Muslim is not of God. And everybody that is not Buddha is not of God. But when you go higher in the realms of the spirit, you begin to hear a voice saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one." There is only one. And that one has got nothing like Christianity attached to it. It has got nothing like, you know, a methodology of prayers. It has got nothing about a mode of fellowship or a mode of nothing. Nothing about that. That one has been before all faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's quickly turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Are we there?
Yes.
How did we speak wisdom among them that are perfect? Not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Let's stop here. Now, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Now, that word perfect, what does it tell you of? What does it speak volume? When you hear the word perfect, Jesus Christ says, be you perfect as your
Heavenly Father is perfect.
Your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus never said he is perfect as a man. Be ye perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. When you hear the word like perfect, great, those things are attributes of the Almighty God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Those who are spiritual, those who are of God. It is not the wisdom of the princes of this age. Now, the princes of this age is talks of human, mortal understanding. And that is what religion writes on. Religion writes on human understanding, good intentions, quite all right, trying to get to God. Religion has good intention. They don't want to take you to hell. They don't want God to cast you into a fire to burn. They really want to save you from some kind of fire somewhere. They tried to save Jesus and they tried to protect people from Jesus so that Jesus does not contaminate them with his word. You know that? So they had to put him away before this man now becomes a stumbling block to the people of God. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not the wisdom that the princes of this world have. Well, look at it, it says they are coming to naught. That means everything that man ever thought, everything that man ever conceived in his heart is coming to nothing. Zero. Zero. You hear what I mean? Zero. Everything, even man's religion, is coming to zero. Everything that you ever thought about Jesus, about God, about miracles, about Father, about God blessing you and cursing the other one, everything is coming to naught. Zero. We speak wisdom, a celestial wisdom. You see, that is why not everybody understands you when you are preaching. It's a path of loneliness. Not everybody understands you when you preach. At times we forget this. That is why at times you get some heavy knocks along the road. At times you stagger. Until the Spirit now comes to open your eyes. Didn't I tell you it will happen? Rejoice and be glad. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we speak. Let's go to verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. Somebody say hidden wisdom.
Hidden wisdom.
Say this also, hidden manner.
Hidden manner.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them who love him. Please, can you put on that air conditioner? You don't put it on. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can see that what we are hearing is not for head knowledge. Rather, it is designed for your glorification. Amen.
Amen.
The life that is intertwined with God. The wisdom that we preach preaches the mystery of God and man. There is no such thing as two entities, but one entity. These are the things that you can never hear in church. Because the moment you begin to hear this in church, the church will not work again. Don't you understand my point? These are the things that drive the crowd. You cannot hear a thing like oneness in the church. You cannot hear the thing like I and the Father are one. These things are in the Bible, but you can never hear these things being preached on the pulpit. They don't understand. Yes, they'll say, okay, Jesus and the Father are one. That's what they say, isn't it? But what people fail to realize that the Jesus that the Bible talks about is actually the inner man. He's the spiritual man. How will you know this if you do not have the wisdom of God? It is coming out today for your glory, for your glorification. Your glorification is your return back to the glory of the Father. That is your glorification. And how can you get there if you do not know? Hallelujah. First of all, you hear. Isn't it? And now, take it by force. Things that have been designed for your glory, for your enjoyment, freely given to you by God. Freely. You don't have to shout. You don't have to cry. You don't have to cut yourself. Before God will give you, it's already yours. You don't have to pay tithes before God will give you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. These are the doctrines of men. There's a kind of sensation of enmity between man and God. Man feels that God is the enemy. So he has to appease the anger of God with burnt offerings. Somebody says, well, we don't do burnt offerings anymore. Well, you do it with your tithes. You do it with your cry, your crying, with your fasting. You're trying to appease God so that God doesn't get angry with you and consume you and to cause your plane to crash and to make you broke and to strike you with leprosy. Isn't it? You are shouting and praying to God so that God doesn't, you know, he doesn't, all those kind of strange ideas. You run all the days of your life away from shadows, things that are not there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Go down to verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God has revealed them unto us by his
Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Oh, hallelujah. What man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is within him? Even so the things of God, no man knoweth but the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, praise God,
hallelujah,
but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. You see, when you know something that is freely given, you know, there's a time I didn't have cash, I didn't have money, you know, in my account. But I had forgotten that I deposited some money somewhere else. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I didn't know that I deposited something somewhere else, money somewhere else. But by chance, this thing came out and I got to realize that I had this big money somewhere. And you know, I was suffering, not knowing that what I was looking for was already there. That is how it is in the things of God. God has freely given us everything when he says everything, he says his glory, himself. You have everything that is God's, but, you know, until you come to the awareness, that is where we hear the wisdom of God. Remember the prodigal son? The prodigal son actually, you notice that the prodigal son, the father never disowned him. You know that? The father never disowned the prodigal son. The father never cursed him. The father was never angry with him. When he came back to his senses, he discovered that he had riches, everything intact. So it is for every man. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But first of all, you must discover what it means that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You must first of all discover the I am the way, the truth, and the life. That I am the way, the truth, and the life is actually your true self. You must know yourself first. You recognize the mystery of yourself. Your true self. And in recognizing the mystery, when you first of all, when you recognize the mystery of yourself, consciousness expands. And you discover yourself back in the Father consciousness. You know, we always thought somewhere that Jesus is in the sky somewhere, and the Father is behind Jesus, and you have to kind of pass through Jesus to get to the Father. But we're speaking of consciousness here. You see how we have taught it? You can see that Christianity has a big X on it. Christianity does not know it, it's not even started. Somebody said, but what are the miracles that they do? Go to other religions, they do miracles. But you want to deny it? You want me to show you other things, other places where you go to? They do these things. Amen? There's nothing that is done there that's not done anywhere. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, then he goes on to say that, just quickly turn to the book of John. John chapter 14, verse 6. Amen.
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 Hello, Mary. How are you? God bless you. John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm going to read 6 and 7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. If you have known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. How many of us truly know who Jesus is? How many of us really know who Jesus is? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, you see, the life, when he says, I am the life, that means any form of imitation, anything apart from that Christ consciousness is life. Amen?
Amen.
We've heard so many times where he says that no liar has a part in the book of life, or no liar has his part in the New Jerusalem. All men are liars. All men are
liars.
All men are liars. Even the ones that don't tell the petty lies, they're all liars. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody said, but no, I never told a lie to my brother before. I don't do that. Answer this question. Who are you? If you see anything other than the life that I am, which is Christ, you're a liar. Living in a false identity in the flesh means walking in the light. Amen?
Amen.
I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other life apart from this life. Of course, he's not speaking about Jesus of 2,000 years ago. He's not speaking about a man. Amen?
Amen.
We're speaking here about a spiritual entity that is within you. You first of all have to know who I truly am, the I that I am, which is you. You have to know yourself, and when you know yourself, you have known God. It's a package. Amen. You know you have some packages, you have some deals, and everything go together. Amen. To have eternal life, you must first of all know yourself. You must know your true self. The true self has been sleeping, has been dormant. You know, in the Buddha religion, you know, the Buddha has many religions. And you know, I was looking through the internet, I saw a picture of one of these Buddha gods who was sleeping on the dust. He was like sleeping on the dust. Amen. Somebody might go to that statue and worship the statue, but when I see that statue, I understand what it means already. Because that man that was sleeping speaks about the men of this age that are asleep in the dust. Because when you are awake, you will know that you are him. That's what the Bible calls resurrection. It's awakening to reality that I am one with the Father. That is awakening. That is the only thing that can give satisfaction. That is the only thing that will endure, because every other thing will be taken away. You know that? So we don't need to struggle to keep things or to maintain things. Rather, hold on to the revelation that I am the Father at one. That is the one that will take you out throughout eternity. Look, where will this body be in the next 1,000 years? Somebody said, I'll be raptured. Hallelujah. Where will this body be? This body that you are trying your best to keep so well and eat good food and make it fresh and wash it and, you know,
polish.
Where will it be? Try as you may will, this outer body will be dissolved. I know when something dissolves, it's as if it was not there. But I am, and just forever. So you might as well scat. Instead of being carried away with vanities, with anger, with irritations, with bitterness, with quarrels, with contentions, why don't you loosen yourself? Loosen yourself into the galaxies of God, into the realms of God. So you begin to suck of milk and honey. Free yourself, praise God.
Hallelujah.
From human sentiments, hallelujah. Amen. It's all consciousness, expansion, growing in the faith, growing in the things of God, hallelujah.
Amen.
Understanding what God is, what the message is. Getting out of the box of religion, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. I came that God says that if you have known me, you should have known my Father. Do you know yourself now that you are the Christ? The I that is in me, Paul calls him the Christ in me. You know, everybody preaches this one in the Sunday schools. The churches all over the world. But how many people truly know what it means? Christ in me is the hope of your glorification. There's only one glorification, and that glorification is in the Father. That's why he says, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before this world was. Glorify me with the glory I had in you before I put up human form. You know that is the only prayer you are supposed to pray. You know, we still have some elements of religion in us. Do you know that?
Yes.
I've got to pray for this. Come, let's pray. Let me pray for this. Let me pray to change this thing. Pray, pray. Jesus says what? All I need to do is to pray that thy kingdom
come.
I don't need to pray for fishes and loaves. The Father knows that I
need them.
These things, I know that I need them. This is our desire to follow us, but at times we get scared, isn't it?
Yes.
I remember one time somebody was to sign a contract for me, you know? And when the time came, it shifted to the next day, and it went on for almost 2 weeks. And I tell you, the whole world around me was crumbling, you know? And at times, the faith, whatever, isn't it? At times we need that prayer that Father, strengthen me, help my unbelief, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You don't need to be over spiritual at times. There are moments like that, isn't it? Of challenges.
That's true.
Even Jesus, when he was going to the cross, somebody came to help him at the point to carry the cross. He had a human aspect of it. Even before going to the cross, he said, well, if it was possible, let us rewrite this thing that has been written. He was faced to the reality that he was dying. And normally, we all think that this is our life. Eh? No matter how spiritual we think we are, at times, we really think that our life in this body is our real life. Do you know that? We are so indoctrinated to believe that this is our life. Do you know that? But let me tell you, our appearance in this world is less than the speck of eternity. Imagine eternity and 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years. It's like what a speck in eternity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we do everything to protect this life. Why Jesus Christ says, lose your life. Lose your life like Moses. You know Moses lost his life? Somebody said, but how did Moses lose his life? He left everything. You know that? He entered into the desert not knowing anybody. You know, we came into this country not knowing anybody. I spoke to a brother of mine who was traveling to Canada, and he told me, say you are a man. Why did he say that? Because he saw how we entered into a strange land where we couldn't even speak the language. We didn't know where we were going. I had nobody here, and how we just entered in here and everything, just how we got to here, this place, you know? Jesus Christ says, if you lose your life in this world, you will gain it in the world to come. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
If you lose your life, Moses left everything. Do you know Moses was actually born, or rather he grew up in Pharaoh's household? You know that?
Yes.
He grew up in Pharaoh's household. Now Moses left all that, but there was a divine something in him that was pushing him into this cause. Eh? You can't do that except there's an unction within you. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. At times, it will push you into nothingness. But out of that nothingness comes out something else. You remember Noah? A very foolish project, you know that? People are partying, drinking, making money, doing big things, and you are there building an ark. You know that? That's something wrong with him, you know? People are establishing things. Your mates are establishing big businesses, doing big things. And you are there building an ark, yeah? Mumu. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, but the time came when the door of the ark was closed. I can imagine those people that were laughing at you, trying to knock. Open, open. Let us enter. But God knocked it. Amen. That's another story again. Because for, when you hear those things, you think that maybe God can actually prevent you from life. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So what happens now? Moses loses everything and enters into a wilderness, but out of that wilderness, God turned it into a blossoming garden. Do you know what Moses found? Moses found the presence. He found the mystery of who I am. Do you know that? Moses found the mystery of who I am. He found the mystery of Christ. When Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection, I am the door, I am Alpha, Omega, I am beginning and end, I am Almighty God. When Moses left Egypt, it's a voyage, a leaving of all your traditions. Even Christianity. All this is a part of the wisdom of this world. Amen? Mm-hmm. He didn't call you to become a Christian. In the ways of this world. Amen? Mm-hmm. We're talking of higher levels of teachings. Eh? I'm teaching a higher thing today. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
I am, after 40 years in the wilderness, he finds the bush, burning bush, saying, I am that I am. That I am that I am is the Christ in you. Hallelujah. If you seek for me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, I will be found of you. If you love me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, I will be found of you. Amen.
Amen.
There's this famous actor that used to go out for treasure hunts. What do you call him? Indiana Jones. Mm. Do you know Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
People are quite young here. These are bestsellers, Indiana Jones. It's all his films, he always goes on wild adventures to find a treasure or something. Very wild adventures. Your own treasure hunt is actually the Christ in you. At times you need a bit of silence, eh? Amen.
Amen.
At times you need a bit of stillness. If Moses was in the town, if Moses was in Egypt, among the Egyptians, he would not hear, he would never have seen the I am that I am. There's no way you will see it if it was in the midst of that system. These are the systems of Babylon, the systems of men. Leave your country, leave your kinsmen, leave your people, and I will show you the way to go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come out of your box of religion, your traditions. Not just church, even your human beliefs about yourself. All those things are the things that are blocking you. You're happy on it. Some of you are not happy because your personal convictions are the things bringing sadness to you. You think you deserve this or you are this or that. Look, let it go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let it go. Certain things, very dangerous trials that you pass in life. I went through some of this thing with my family. Certain things that you pass through in life, and I tell you, if you're not ready to let it go, it will destroy you. You know that?
Yes.
He will destroy you. And at times you just have to come to the place of pure spiritual consciousness. Like Jesus. Jesus told the mother, well, look at my mother and my brethren here. You know? Somebody said, but that is rude. He was giving a word there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Loosen yourself. Hallelujah. If the mother was spiritual, the mother would follow the path of Jesus, which he eventually did anyway. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He now became a life-giving spirit to the mother. Amen?
Amen.
But if the mother was there saying that she's that. The mother... If the mother was there saying that if you talk to me like that, if the mother was there telling Jesus that you cannot teach me, you cannot be my teacher, she only could keep herself in greater hurt. That is the traditional thinking of man. Amen.
Amen.
A young lad, a young boy, when Jesus was to give the bread, a young lad, the Bible called him a young lad, was the one that brought the bread that Jesus divided. Amen?
Amen.
So somebody that's not corrupted with the systems of men. You know what happened? When I became born again years ago, in Chrisokoti, you know Chrisokoti here? His church. Under a month, a pastor came from America, he's in Jamaica, and they call him Pagosu, he's dead now. He came around and he gave a message in a fellowship. That was the end. So God drew me out of waters. I never entered deep into church. Immediately I heard that word, my eyes opened and I saw certain things that even the Christians there couldn't see again, and I had to leave. Amen.
Amen.
If I had been inside there, in that system, probably they would have corrupted me. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that we have heard, they keep us into bondage. We don't know. Our traditions, they hurt us. They wound us without knowing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Set yourself free. Go on this journey, this spiritual journey, into nothingness. Because it's actually nothingness. It's nothing organized. It doesn't look organized. It doesn't look nice. No, nothing. No beauty to admire. It's formless. It's nothingness. But that nothingness, out of it will spring forth rivers of living water.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.
Jesus.
We glorify your name.
Hallelujah.
Blessed be your name.
Amen.
A spiritual path that you prepare for your people, expanding consciousness. Let us expand into you, to know you in totality.
Amen.
Knowing ourselves the way we are known of God, to walk this walk in you.
Amen.
No one comes to the Father. The Father is the highest consciousness.
Yes.
The Father is God. In your unwoken consciousness, that is you. In our working consciousness, there is just that spirit. I don't exist. The I that I thought I was only an imagination. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That one life is in the Father. That eternal life is in the Father, and I am that life. Oh, Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you for the word.
Thank you,
beyond religion.
Amen.
Beyond the traditions of men.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Let this word give life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen.